I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A cube.
A cube. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the freshly imploded Altamart that is Jolly Rogers Studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film that is currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Rogers Studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. So here we are, and this week, let's reveal the film. That movie is the 1997 Cusack-laced film, Gross Point Blank.
Right.
So if you've seen it, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree, or if not, you keep listening to see if you may want to cue this one up yourself. So once again, I'm Michael, along with, as always, to my left, talking about James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Hadn't seen you in like a week.
Yeah, it's been about a week, yeah.
Yeah, have you had a good week, Savage?
Not bad. How about you?
You know, I had a pretty good week, guys. I had a really good week. You want to know why?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, did not have my head smashed with a TV.
That's always a good
start.
Always.
A tube TV, too. I think that's worse somehow.
Yeah. Did they even make those?
Like a Trinitron.
Yeah.
Trinitron. Westinghouse.
Yeah, I mean, off-brand. Right. Killed by an off-brand tube TV. Didn't happen.
You don't know that.
You know, I was not ridiculed one time for ordering a plain omelet.
Good, yeah.
I just wanted the protein.
Technically, it wasn't an omelet.
Yeah, that's right.
I wasn't murdered with a pen.
That's good.
I had a pretty good week, Savage.
That's good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Well, let's keep the ball rolling. Right. To your left, as always, we're talking about the patron saint of high-quality outerwear, Matthew St. Hoodie.
Hey, hi.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Good.
Yeah, did you have a good week?
I did have a good week.
I feel like I elaborate awful in-depth into my week, yeah. But explain to me, did you have a high-quality week to go with your high-quality outerwear?
Yeah, my house wasn't demolished and turned into an Altamart.
See, he's good. Playing along. He's playing along.
Yeah, my mom's not crazy.
Look at him go. Look
calling
him go.
Me a handsome devil.
Yeah. That would be crazy to call you a handsome
I didn't
devil.
Have to, you know, take a hit on my ex-girlfriend's dad.
Nicely
I'm
done.
Trying to get Jeez. Back with. Yeah, what a week. I mean,
and that was Gross Point Blank, 1997. Thanks for playing along.
Right.
You see, I want to see what that felt like. Right. I wanted that energy. Speaking of energy.
That back.
Look what's going on to your side. And we're talking about Max Gumbo Johnson.
What's happening?
I'm not getting into that again.
I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to do it. If you ask me how my week was, it was pretty good, except I inadvertently watched an episode of Two Broke Girls, and it ruined my week. It was the worst
really?
Show on television. It was so bad.
You ever seen,
so
two, bad. You ever so seen Two Broke Girls in a Cup? That's even better.
No. Yeah. No, that's I would watch that again before I watched Two Broke Girls.
You know what?
Terrible.
I could not resist that. Yeah. Sorry, Dean. Let's go over to our producer, Adam the Bomb Rogers, the greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast. How are you, sir?
What's going on, man?
I'm not doing... What was that? You're turning to Cheech and Chong all of a sudden?
Man.
We're talking about Gross Point Blank, 1997. And before we get into it, let's talk about how to keep up with us.
Sure.
We're talking about Google. We're talking about Facebook. We're talking about iTunes. I say the YouTube channel works, too.
Yeah, all of it.
You don't have to do any of that. If you just go to, though, check this out. TheQFilmcast.net. Yeah, you go there because you can link right up to our Facebook page, right up to our Twitter page.
Yeah. Automatic follow.
There's an automatic follow button. If you go there, you click automatic follow.
Yeah.
Fill out your email address. New episodes delivered to you instantaneously.
Yep.
Welcome to the modern age.
And if you're a winner, you'll follow us.
That's right.
That's what winners do.
Winners do it all the time. So let's get into this one. Gross Point Blank, 1997. Let's talk about who it's written by. Tom Jankowitz. I found this interesting because he's never written anything, but he is the brother of the guy who wrote the Rundown, Beethoven Second, and K-Pax.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, I like the Rundown and K-Pax.
Yeah, but he's the brother of the... I found that interesting.
I'd say that the other guy's the brother of this guy.
Yeah. It's like the Tony Scott, Ridley Scott
thing. Just follow this back. Let's follow the money. Who got the job here?
Wait a second.
Right.
I like what Hoodie did there. No. He's the brother of this guy. I like that.
All right.
Directed by George Armitage. Basically this. I don't think he's done much since then.
Well, since I mean, You do this, go out on top.
There
just
you go.
Just quit. Just retire.
And, you know, I found that really odd. I thought, okay, let's see what else this guy has directed. And it's like, he's still alive. Maybe he was hit in the head with something or he went, like, temporary blindness. Or
yeah, or maybe upset the Weinsteins. You know?
Yeah, maybe he went, temporary blindness. I was going to say something. But film stars John Cusack, Joan Cusack, Minnie Driver, Dan Aykroyd, Hank Azaria, Alan Arkin, and Jeremy Piven.
Yep.
Just to name a few, there's a few more in there too, like Jenna Elfman and the guy from Walking Dead.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Some more Cusacks.
Yeah. And selected by me. It's my turn here to cue up a film. And the reason I wanted to do this was, like I touched on last week, if this show is about flipping around going, hey, if you haven't seen this, you should watch it. I actually think we have listeners who were born in 1997.
Yeah, right.
So it would be a shame, maybe, possibly, to flip by this if you're looking for a good romp. And here it is. Gross Point Blank. I said, let's do it. These all inspire top three, as we touched on. And this is no different. We're talking about top three hitmen or assassins, Max. What's it going to be?
Assassins and or hitmen.
I think there's a fine line, but it's
it's a fine line.
Yeah.
But it's a good line to cross. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. You're here. Nothing personal too much. It's just you got to die. I'm going to kill you.
It's not personal. Yeah, it's my job. I'm just doing my job.
Yeah, and our job is to get on with this thing here and talk about what the critics did. You like that segue? Talk about what the critics thought of this film. IMDb, Savage, I'm going over to you.
Okay.
We're talking about Gross Point Blank.
Sure. Well, you know, Cusack is America's sweetheart. Let's see. Sweet. 9.2.
I'm going to tell you it's 7.0.
What?
Yeah.
Stupid IMDb.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that. It's 7.0. But yeah, I don't know how much I trust these things anyway.
Well, it's all IMDb is completely user driven.
Yeah.
So,
that's,
I mean, it's
even more surprising.
And if someone if a film has a lot of fanboys and things, they're all going to go on there, you know, and give it a rating.
Yeah, all the fanboys are going to give it a 10 and all the dumb people are going to give it a 2.
Well, you're not dumb at all. I don't think
you're dumb.
No,
I'm not. I'm far from it.
That's why I'm going to you.
Okay.
Gumbo, and I want you to tell me critics wise on Rotten Tomatoes.
Critics Rotten Tomatoes, I'll go 82.
79.
Oh, that's not bad.
We can't get into the 80s.
Yeah, right.
What's wrong with this movie?
Right.
And so much of the movie felt like the 80s, so that doesn't make any sense.
That was good.
You like that? Oh, Matthew St. Hoodie, I've got to defer to you on this one. And we're talking about the users on Rotten Stinking Tomatoes. What percentage wise?
86.
87.
Wow.
Look at that.
See? Oh,
so
wait
close.
A second. It should have been 86 because it was an 86 class reunion.
That's right.
That would have been creepy.
Wow.
Right.
Absolutely insane and creepy. You want to talk about what this film is?
Sure.
Sure.
Now that we know what the critics thought that we don't care about?
Yeah.
Because what's important is what we thought.
That's right.
That's why you're listening to the show.
Sure.
We're the only ones that matter.
Here's,
well, the four of us.
Yeah, the four of us. oh, wait, five. Produce.
Oh, hey, Adam.
I'm so forgotten.
Here's what you have. Let's talk about this one here, Gross Point Blank. Goes a little something like this. Martin Blank, played by John Cusack, is a freelance hitman with a few emotional problems who starts to develop a conscience that ultimately affects his job. On the advice of his secretary and his psychiatrist, played by Alan Arkin, he attends his 10th year high school reunion in Gross Point, Michigan, a Detroit suburb where, ironically enough, he's just been given a contract to kill someone. Hot on his tail are a couple of over-enthusiastic federal agents, another assassin who wants him gone, and the leader of the Assassins Union, played by Dan Aykroyd, who wants his membership or else. While the present meets his past, Martin finds himself having to relive the uncomfortableness of his high school memories, including an attempt at making amends with his then-sweetheart, whom he abandoned on prom night in order to join the army. But let's stop right here and listen to a trailer of the film, Gross Point Blank, 1997. We're going to come back and tell you what we thought of this one right here. So here
I want to read you something.
I'm working, Marcella.
Dear Points High alumni, can you believe it's been 10 years since you left Gross Point?
Don't tease me, you know what I do for a living. I just honestly don't know what I have in common with those people anymore. And what am I going to say? Kill the president of Paraguay with a fork. How have you been?
Go see some old friends. Have some punch. Visit with what's-her-name?
Debbie.
Don't kill anybody for a few days. See what it feels like.
I'll give it a shot.
No, no, don't give it a shot. Don't shoot anything.
Kid, I'm putting together a little concern.
You mean like a union?
Welcome back, Pointers.
you haven't changed a bit.
Don't say that.
What do you do, Mark?
Professional killer.
The VO, it's a growth industry.
Do you have to do postgraduate work for that, or can you jump right in?
There's a contract out in your life, but I'm not going to do it. It's either because I'm in love with your daughter or I have a newfound respect for life.
That punk is either in love with that guy's daughter or he has a newfound respect for life.
Debbie, I'm in love with you. I know we can make this relationship work.
It's not easy for me. I always control my emotions. I just need time to change.
Why don't you just join the union?
This union, is there going to be meetings?
Of course!
No meetings.
I want you to think about this, and you don't have to answer it now. But Debbie, will you marry me?
The Q Film Cast. There it is. Gross Point Blank, 1997. The film we're going to be talking about tonight, along with our top three hitmen at the end of the show. Inspired by the movie, as they all are, right? Let's get into a little bit of Did You Know? I like the facts and figures and trivia on this film.
Yeah.
You ready to go, Max? You want to hear about something?
I want to know everything about this movie.
Check this out, Max Gumbo Johnson. Did you know that only the aerial footage of the Lakeshore Drive was shot in Grosse Pointe? The actual film was shot in Monrovia, California, due to budget, obviously, and its close resemblance to the area it depicts.
Wow.
Yeah, because it looks like Grosse Pointe to me.
Like the downtown Main Street kind of thing?
Well, just all along the Lakeshore.
Yeah, well.
Little cafes and things like that.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Did you know that the director-producer originally planned to shoot the film's high school scenes at Grosse Pointe South High, but he didn't get permission from the school board? They felt that it would be inappropriate to show someone graduating from Grosse Pointe to become a hitman. What a bunch of pretentious douches. That's fantastic. Did you know, Matthew St. Hoodie, did you know that this film features appearances by most of the acting members of the Cusack family? John Cusack, Joan Cusack, Ann Cusack, and Bill Cusack. Only their father, Dick Cusack, is absent.
Wonder what happened to him.
Yeah, why are you sick that day or something?
He didn't make the cut.
Did you know that Martin's invitation to his high school reunion, which is tucked into the mirror as he gets ready, requires attendees to dress to kill? If you look at the fine print.
I didn't catch that.
That's nice.
Isn't that kind of cool?
It's
kind of cool. I like Bond.
Did you know that just after Martin has put on his necktie to go to the reunion, there's a poster on the wall for the Clash's Out of Control tour? Of course, because the score is credited to Joe Strummer of the Clash, which I love. Yeah, did you know that Dan Aykroyd quotes from the Book of Revelation during the final shootout? It's almost the same thing he said in Ghostbusters in 1984.
Because he's awesome.
It's his go-to, Revelations.
Did you know, the final one, what do you think? I'm going to turn the table on you, Savage. Yeah. What do you think the body count is in this film? Cheat.
12?
14.
14.
Right. Wow, if you think about
high?
It. Well, it's like five right in the opening scene. When
I
he's
was
at
thinking
the...
15, yeah.
I think there's five that get shot. Remember in the openings with the credits?
Four.
So, okay, whatever.
No, the biker.
Yeah, there you go.
Forgot about
three
all those.
Or three of the mafia guys and the biker.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done with that. It's 14.
Moving along.
Let's talk about currency and how we're going to rate this thing. Because it's stupid.
Yeah, they're so dumb.
We're not going to use thumbs up. That's dumb.
Who even came up with that stupid system?
I don't know.
Stupid Romans.
Stupid Romans. Yeah. We can do Roman numerals. No, we're going to use, we kicked this around a lot. And I think we're going to use, this is abstract.
Yeah.
Hoodie, you pulled this one out. God, I love it. The more I think about it, I love it. We're talking about Bob Beamer's words.
Bobby Beamer's words.
Yeah.
1 to 10, Bobby Beamer's words.
His words.
It makes no sense to you if you've not seen the film.
Right. We'll use them for a while.
Yeah. We'll just skip to the end.
For a while.
Yeah.
I think you should just go with it, man. That's beautiful.
Skip to the end. Yeah, that's great, man.
Bobby Beamer's words. All right. I don't want to go right now. I want to go in like afterwards.
But it's your pick.
I don't care. I'm going to go to you, Savage. I'm going to go straight to you because I think I've talked too much. I want to hear what you say first.
Yeah, no.
We're talking about Grosse Pointe Blank, 1997. Sure. What you got?
It's an awesome film. This is one of the most perfect comedies there is. I'll give it a 9.
Go up there hot on a 9, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice revisit.
Yeah.
When was the last time you've seen this?
I probably see it once a year.
Yeah, I didn't think it'd be a film that had gone too much in between visits for any of us. I think it's on TV here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. And Cusack, you know, he's... America's Sweetheart.
Well, he wasn't in this. You're talking about Dick Cusack?
He's
not in this
film. Yeah.
Oh, John Cusack.
Yeah.
America's Sweetheart.
America's Sweetheart. Is that the joke?
Well, he was in America's Sweetheart, too.
That was a dumb movie. Hoodie, what do you have for this one, Grosse Pointe Blank?
Well, I saw it a week before you said that we're watching it, and I said, I get to watch it again. Yes. I give it a 10. I love this movie.
I might go up to a 10. I just want to say that.
Yeah, it's good. It's really, really good. Producer, I think you know the spiel. Let Bob Beamer's words flow through you and give me a number. What is it?
This movie has a lot of charm. I'm going to go 7.
7. Okay.
Is this the first time you'd seen it?
No. I saw it when it came out.
Oh, did you go to the theater and see it?
No, I rented it on VHS.
He has a soundtrack, though.
Actually, okay. I don't.
I rent it on VHS.
He had Christmas spirit, too.
Right. The VHS store.
Max Gumbo Johnson, what you going to go with here?
I really enjoyed this movie. I can see why it's got a certain charm and sort of a cult following, but it just doesn't... all of that doesn't really resonate with me so much, but I did like the movie. I would give it an 8. Bobby Beamer's words.
8 Bobby Beamer's words. It's a nice sit, even if you've seen it before, I do think. I'm up there between 8 and a 9. I think I'm going to go a real strong 8 on this
All
one.
Right.
That's what I'm going to say. Let me
I'm
tell you what.
I'm the only 10. No. Did that just happen?
Maybe not be.
Maybe not. I
might
go
be sandbagging a little bit.
I tell you what, though. I really love the pieces here, especially the music. We're talking about The Cure, mm-hmm. Susie and the Banshee. Joe Strummer does the score. And then you get into a lot of other things, too, like the Pixies.
Love the Pixies.
And the Specials and the Jam. I mean, there's great stuff here that just made me sit back in my chair and just kind of dig it again, you know. But when it comes to the film, it's full of stuff like this. I know I like it when you say Savage that you buy your ticket and you take your ride.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's really all you need, just that's a ride. And once in a while, the rides slap together nice. I think that's what it does for me. It's just a nice ride. I found it incredibly witty and interesting in 1997, and the other night, I'm still going to say it.
Yeah.
I think it's a very fun premise. The characters and the scenes carried along very well. It's stitched together nice, too, you know. Even the title is playful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? One of my favorite titles of all time. Me too. Gross Point, Michigan. Point Blank Rage. Martin Blank. You know, the whole thing is great.
I get
gross.
It.
I know you get it.
It took me forever to figure out the title.
But, I mean, that's a great play on words. Yeah. And even from its opening introduction, the thing just seems to have its own place that works well. There's not a lot of surprises in it as far as script-wise. I think it's built around the dialogue.
Yeah, well, it certainly is.
When we talk about this film, to me, I'm going to go straight to the dialogue. I think it's really good, especially all the interactions between everybody. I'm talking Cusack and Aykroyd. Cusack and Piven, Deb and Cusack, even Cusack and Bob, who just wanted some blow.
Yeah.
Even Cusack and Cusack, right. Yeah. It's easy to appreciate. And like a good ride, the story had a lot of bends in the track take you along the way. I liked seeing past circumstances colliding with current situations.
Yeah.
The backdrop creates nice tension and fun. I mean, anytime you go to a high school reunion, anytime I see it in a movie, it automatically puts me into the scene.
Right.
Because either we've all been there or we've all tried to stay away from there. But no matter who you bring out from high school, we all say to ourselves, that guy, you know. Yeah. So it has a lot of that. And the dialogue is so crisp. It's maybe not quite as crisp as All About Eve.
Oh,
sure.
No.
But it's good.
Not on
it's
that different. Level.
It's different.
So that's my rendition. It's a fun ride. Glad I bought the ticket. Now, let's go to you, Savage. You went up here on 9. What do you have?
Yeah, no, I could go to a 10, actually. I might be sandbagging, because I have this kind of bias. I don't like clever titles like that, you know, like Gross Point Blank, Cops and Robertsons.
Wink, wink.
Right, Shanghai Noon, you know.
But this one's a little bit better.
It's the same. It's like the play on words, you know, so... You know, that's not my Max's American point.
But why would that bother somebody?
It's because I just have a personal bias against that.
You got a problem.
I do, sir. I do have a problem with clever titles. But no, this is a clever, clever film, and it's built on Cusack, and it's the repartee with the dialogue. It is dialogue, completely dialogue-driven, and it's one-on-one, like you said, Cusack and Arkin, Cusack and Piven. When you put Jeremy Piven and John Cusack together, and they're best friends.
Yeah.
I'll watch that all day long. I like the concept of the hitman going back to the high school reunion and how he's always telling people what he does. What do you know? Contract killer. Professional killer.
Oh, they have dental with that. And everybody's response is just so, I didn't really hear what you're saying. I don't believe you.
Yeah. It's a growth industry. You know? Yeah. And then Dan Aykroyd coming in and killing it. I mean, pardon the pun. You know, it's really sharp. It's fun. But bottom line, it's just a fun, fun film.
And if someone came to you and said, look, I have a concept for a film. Here's a hitman who goes back to his reunion.
Yeah.
I'd be like, tell me more. I mean, that's That's a nice little hook, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice concept.
Yeah, but then it has a whole bunch of little details like Dan Aykroyd trying to unionize the hitman, which is just like, where do you come up with that?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah,
I mean, the high school thing is one thing. That's a great story. Now add that to it, that's even better.
Yeah.
And then, and the Mini Driver, I thought, and just fantastic. But to piggyback what you guys are saying, it's all built on chemistry.
Absolutely.
And it seemed like it was between everybody.
Everybody had chemistry with everybody. When else have you ever seen that?
Not
everybody
often.
Was perfect.
Yeah.
Perfectly cast for this movie. It was great. And a perfect soundtrack.
Yeah.
A great story. We talked in Witness about good script writing. And to me, this is really good script writing.
It is. And there's a couple things that reminded me of that quick hit in the script that say, you just told me everything in 2 seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah. And a lot of that in here.
Very much.
Max Gumbo Johnson, you went up there 7. You enjoyed the film, not as much as some, but you enjoyed the film. What you got?
Well, I actually went at 8. But,
8, sorry.
Yeah, I enjoyed the movie. I always have enjoyed it. This is probably the, fourth or fifth time I've seen it. Never hated it at all. I just don't hold it in that venerated position a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. But I really, really do like the movie. I can't knock a whole lot about the movie. The script is well done. The story, as quote unquote clever as it sounds, it could have come off as really jokey and we're gonna pull some stupid jokes here and blah, blah, this and that and but they didn't do it.
Yeah,
they played it pretty straight.
Yeah,
and I liked the way it was played. It just there were a couple things that just didn't click for me. I don't know what it was. As much as I enjoyed it, as much as I liked it, there were just a couple of things that just felt a little off to me for some reason. I can't put my finger on it. Yeah. I can't really say anything bad about the movie, though.
It's a fun ride.
It's a fun
I think Dan Aykroyd was really good in this, too. Like
Dan Aykroyd.
He might have been the cherry on the top of it.
Was fantastic.
The
every scene he was in was... He just ran away with it.
He did. Right.
He ran... The whole meeting at the cafe for breakfast scene, I mean, that was all Dan Aykroyd.
Nah.
Cusack was good. Didn't match Aykroyd.
The B players, like Hank Azaria, he was great. The little duo of those guys was fantastic.
Yeah.
when they put one over on Dan Aykroyd in the bathroom,
absolutely.
I love that.
It
was so good.
You know, we need to check in with the producer. And producer, how about you? You poodle pumper, pooch puncher, hound hitter. What you got over there?
Boudreaux.
Yeah. Talk about this film. Gross Point Blank. You went up there with a 7, I think. What you got? What stands out to you?
I liked its quirkiness. I liked the whole soundtrack to this. I thought it was great. I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, I guess that's
it.
Okay, moving on.
All right, well, clip your string, Chatty Cathy. Let's keep going. I know. You can, it's charming in a lot of different ways. The script, the music, and this dialogue, all that sort of stuff. So you're going to concentrate on the score and the music, all right? I thought you might.
But it was well placed, too.
I love that type of music.
He goes into the Ultimart, and what he's hearing on the radio is playing in the Ultimart.
I caught that in a music kind
of way. Yeah,
he did that all through the movie.
Oh, yeah. There's one scene with
the
music.
Wasn't just a score. The actual score was part a character in the film.
Yeah, there's one scene at the end with a baby, too, where it's under pressure.
That scene...
I love that scene. If we could just skip ahead real quick the scenes. So much of the movie is him trying to run from his past, him trying to avoid his present. But that scene shows him looking into his possible future. And that is one of those things where quickly it tells you everything he's thinking.
Yeah.
He wanted to take a picture of that. So you can see that the future does not scare him anymore. It's the past and the present that's the problem. But he sees a path out, the future, holding the baby. With, of course, David Bowie.
That was a cute baby.
That
was a cute baby.
Oh, my gosh, cute baby.
I'll tell you what, let's take a break right here. Let's get into some more of these scenes, because I think there's a ton of them we can talk about. Gross Point Blank, 1997. Here's a piece of it. We'll come back, get into some more of these scenes.
Jim's going to kill you, right?
Yes.
You want it the other way around?
No. That wasn't my intention.
Is it something you've done?
It's something I do. Professionally, for about 5 years now.
You were joking. People joke about the horrible things that they don't do. They don't do them. It's absurd.
When I left, I joined the army, and when I took the service exam, my psych profile fit a certain moral flexibility would be the only way to describe it. I was loaned out to a CIA-sponsored program, and we sort of found each other. That's the way it works.
There it is. Gross Point Blank, 1997, the film we're talking about here. Q Filmcast. You know one scene I want to talk about? I'm going to kick this thing off.
Sure.
We're talking about the Piven scene. I want to talk about that one real quick.
Sure.
Previously, we talked about all the chemistry between this, that, and the other. I do back hoodie up on this one. That is some strong chemistry. Did you say that? Mm-hmm. That they were high school friends? I love that whole thing where it's the standalone, let Piven do his thing part, you know, where he goes and he closes the deal at the house, tries to,
yeah.
And the security guard comes up, and there's that great play and that great banner between him and the security guy, and then Cusack steps in, and then obviously they go into the car, and he explodes into his 10 years, man, 10, 10 years. Where you been 10 years? You know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
He does it twice.
Yeah. He does it so much that you just, it becomes absurd, but it works. You know, it's funny.
Yeah.
But that's a scene that always rises to the top for me, is Piven in this film. And also back in the back end of the film, he has another great segment at the reunion when he's trying to chase the girl. He was great. But what do you have?
Well, yeah, obviously the Piven Cusack stuff. But again, we're going back to the chemistry and the dialogue. And I really like the chemistry and the dialogue between Alan Arkin and John Cusack, the therapist. Mm-hmm. Where you can tell, well, it's made very clear that he does not want to be his therapist. And he feels threatened and intimidated by being his therapist.
Yeah,
and
he says, I don't like this because I'm emotionally involved. He says, why? He says, because I'm afraid of you.
Right, right. Well, I know you live. Why did you say that? Yeah. I didn't mean to say it. Yes, you did mean to say it.
Well, now it's out there and you've said it and I can't go back.
Right. And even when he's calling him at the end and trying to fire him and he's, you know, trying to hang up the phone. It's I really like that. And again, all of the scenes we're going to discuss are going to be character-driven things. And I think, ironically, the least chemistry that I found was between Cusack and Minnie Driver, the actual couple.
Hmm. Okay.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I thought it was nice chemistry.
And then, you know, Cusack was pretty tough. You could tell he'd done some real training, like some real combat training.
He's a kickboxer.
Is he? Really?
Like Lloyd Dobler.
He really is, yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah.
That would have been a good did you know.
Like his thing. I he played everybody knew that as
well. Yeah, he played a kickboxer in Say Anything. He's Lloyd Dobler.
Nope.
The Dobler effect.
He's Lloyd Dobler.
The Dob.
You know, you bring up a good point, too. I mean, there are times that all of a sudden, I wouldn't say the movie becomes serious or dark. But,
oh, it does.
But
it
like
does.
That fight scene at the end, that wasn't, you know, played for comedy. That really got, wow, heavy, you know?
Yeah. They were sweaty and bloody and
sweaty
sooty.
And bloody, yeah.
Yeah. No, there was great moments of, like, seriousness in this film. I mean, and I think that's what tempered the tone down from completely playful, which it was. It was a comedy, but they wouldn't shy away from the heavy stuff either.
Yeah, I picked up on that. Gumbo, what do you have, talking about Gross Point Blank? When you think back about scenes and other things, whatnot, what rises up?
Well, y'all brought this up just a second ago. The action scenes in the film were great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can talk about the chemistry between the leads and the supporting actors and this and that and the script and all that stuff, which was all fantastic. But I was sitting there watching this last night, and I was like, wow, remember when they used to keep the camera still during action scenes?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And it was awesome. It's like, holy crap, this guy, I don't know who he is that directed this.
Right.
New, keep the camera still and let's concentrate. Let's make the action coherent. Let's make it something you could follow. And that fight scene in the hallway, that is literally one of the most brutal fights that yeah. you've seen in a film in a long, long
especially
time.
Especially a comedy.
Yeah, well, especially a comedy, but yeah. just in general, it's pretty
yeah.
violent.
They really look like they were going at
and
each other.
And they looked like they were yeah. going. Yeah, they looked like they were going at each
yeah.
other.
Yeah.
Boy, and I thought that was great. I loved it. Loved every second of it. And then when he had to resort to just pulling his pin out and stabbing yeah. the guy in the neck,
yeah.
that aspect of this movie really, really stood out to me. And that gunfight in the house at the end,
yeah,
yeah,
that was fantastic.
It was good.
That was good yeah. stuff. Man. And then they ran out of bullets, and what yeah. did he do? He ejected his cartridges and boom, reloaded my magazines. Yep. I loved that aspect of it. I'm probably going up to a 9.
Yeah. You know what? You bring home, you bring out a really nice point and why I think this worked. And you said, well, they just kept the camera still and they just played it for what it was.
Yeah.
Well,
and I like that. You're right. It felt very much like I was standing there watching this unfold, almost like I was on set.
Well, I think a lot of the stuff, like, not to belittle the Bourne movies, they're okay.
Yeah.
But I think if you don't have a strong enough script, strong enough chemistry, strong enough words, strong enough dialogue, you've got to distract everybody just by some gimmick. And so they say, well, let's just move the camera around and shake it around because we don't have a strong enough action sequence or we don't have strong enough this. So they distract you. In this movie, they had a strong script, strong dialogue, strong actors, strong chemistry. The action sequences were good. Everything worked. So they could say, let's just point the camera on the people and film what they do. Mm-hmm. And when you've got good stuff, you can get away with that.
But you make a good point with the action, though, is it never devolved into cliche.
No, it didn't.
Yeah. I mean, the combat was accurate, and the gunfight was, it wasn't just, you know, John Woo stuff. It was really thought out. It was like, you could tell, it was really thought out.
Yeah, I mean, that end of it's great. It's something that I think might get overlooked, because everybody, once again, wants to talk about the comedy angle.
Sure.
The shtick, you know, the reunion, the dialogue. And let's get back into that a little bit more. Hoodie, I really liked Aykroyd, his scenes with Cusack, and one in particular in that diner's great. You know, talking about it, the diner's fantastic. But what do you have as far as anything like that goes? Maybe Cusack and another.
Yeah, Cusack and scene. Cusack I thought was really funny.
Okay.
One of my favorite scenes is when she's talking to the, I guess she ordered the 9mm bullets.
The bullets.
And
oh,
she
yeah.
just goes off. She just goes off. And it's so funny because it's so, see me, she's a cutie. So it's so out of character to see her doing this. And then she like switches the line and then goes off about soup.
Yeah.
Carrots and celery are a base.
You're right.
It's like, not that's the soup.
And she delivered it wonderfully. Just love. I love Joan Cusack.
And what about her quality outerwear?
Well, the Sergeant Pepper's.
That's you know what I was thinking? I think the first time I watched this film, I thought, boy, she looks like Sergeant Pepper's, and he says it.
Yep, that's quality.
You know, you bring up something really nice, though. That scene I almost forgot, and it creates a nice flair and a nice touch in this film that the lines between her domestic life and her job are gone. She's ordering bullets and talking about soup, and I think that says a lot in the script.
Mm-hmm.
Like right there, you realize, oh, okay, this is who she is just because of that.
Yeah.
I didn't need a backstory. I didn't see her with her kids. Yeah. I know that she's a domestic something or other that has crossed over into this.
Right.
Just great stuff.
And she was by herself in every shot, I think. She
90%
was
of her scenes just, was just her.
You're right, the one meeting for the beginning. Just alone in the office and just carried the whole thing. I love her. I love her.
I love Junkie. I'm with you there. I love Junkie.
Yeah, she's good. All right, so let's take a break right now. Listen to a little bit of a Gross Point Blank something or other. We'll come back in just a minute or so and get into some more of these scenes. Here you go.
Chatty Cathy, clip your string. I don't need to know. But just for the record, here's what I heard. The Marks borrowed your client's prize hunting pup. So bad luck for Boudreaux and bad luck for Blank. Poodle pumper. Hound hitter. Pooch puncher.
Let's not talk about Boudreaux, huh? What about those two guys in a Caprice Classic outside? The word is you turn two governments on me, you turncoat.
Me?
You.
Goji?
Yes.
On you?
Yes.
Never.
All right, so there it is, Gross Point Blank, a scene from that, and that is the film we're talking about tonight, and inspired our top three hitmen, which we'll get into at the end of the film. Let's talk some more about this one, guys. I want to talk and spark the conversation towards the end, because the movie is obviously is past and is present. What do you think about the reunion? This is one of my favorite reunions, high school reunion scenes of all time. I love this part of the film.
What? Romeo and Michelle's way better.
It's good. Actually, it's pretty good. Alan Cumming's coming in dancing with, what, we're talking about a different film. Stop it. You got me off track, producer. But anybody want to get into that? Because to me, I thought that really arced there. And I talked about that scene also with the baby and all the things that you can relate to. We talked about the assassin getting killed in the hallway and all that. Mm-hmm. It just, there's a lot in that 15-20 minutes, but did all of that work for you? Savage, what do you got?
Yeah, no, I loved how terrified they both were of going to the reunion. Neither one of them wanted to go, and then they decided to go, and so it was not only the class reunion, it was their reunion.
Oh,
so
good point.
It worked in, you know, on multiple levels. And then, you know, that kind of confidence that I guess as only a hitman can have when you can just walk through the world and like, well, I could kill you. You know, so there's that, but I liked it how they found their way to the nurse's office.
Yeah,
you know, and then he found his way to his old locker and still could open it.
Still had the joint in it.
I thought that there was a nice little touch.
Yeah,
you know, it kind of, as absurd as that was, it grounded it in reality.
Yeah, it did.
And there was a lot of that. And then, well, the, you know, I guess the reunion would be the not quite the climax, it was like the penultimate climax.
But you were waiting for it.
Yeah, it was right there. You know, the evolution of the character, you could tell with the baby that something had changed. You know, either he's in love with that guy's daughter, he has a newfound respect for life.
So, yeah. I also liked how we walked in and, of course, the obnoxious high school.
Yeah.
Let's put the whole thing together and put, oh, I put your picture on the car, on your name tag, too, so people can remember what you used to look like. He goes, oh, a special kind of hell. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Right. But, special kind of torture.
Yeah.
But did you notice her pin, where she was the hot chick in school, and then all of a sudden she's now the mom.
Right, the soccer mom kind of thing. Yeah, let's talk about the Altamart scene, too, because that's one that everybody talks about, the Altamart scene. What a great scene. I mean, he says, he calls up his therapist. He says, you told me to go home. I can't go there, but apparently I can shop here now. Yeah. They turned his home into an Altamart. And, of course, we know what happens there. Altamart gets blown to bits. What did you think of that, Max?
I thought that scene was great. The only thing that pulled me out of it was...
The video game.
I'm like, there's Doom 2? No way this guy would not notice that all that was going on.
Well, he's listening to Motorhead loud.
Yeah.
Ace of Spades.
Yeah, he's listening to Motorhead. I know. But it's just like, okay. I get it. I can get it for the comedy.
I think it's funny.
And the jokiness of it.
Yeah.
And it is funny. But it takes away some of the
reality.
Sense of reality that the movie tried to establish.
They blew the hell out of it. They blew the hell out of that Altamart.
Well, they blew the hell out of the ultimate, the reality aspect of the whole thing.
Pretty good gunfight.
But it was a good gunfight. Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah. And his reaction, like, man, now I got to find a new job.
You
know, the kid, he says, man, are you okay? No.
No.
I'm pissed. I have to get a new job. I lost my store.
The scene I liked in the Altamart was the first scene where he goes in there and really interrogates the guy. How long have we been working here? Just a couple months, man.
What are you doing here?
I work here. How long have you worked here? Just a couple months. Just over and over. You're just grilling the guy. I thought that was fantastic. Yeah.
Did you like...
the fact that they had a video store
next
to it, which we've all seen. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even you go to some little town now, and still, like, there's a gas station and a video store.
Captain Video,
and a tanning place for some reason.
That's right.
Isn't that in Clerks?
There's always a tanning place.
Yeah, Clerks. Something else to get into is the Mini Driver character just a bit. You say who said they didn't sense the chemistry? I thought it was great.
Well, no, they had chemistry. I just thought it was the weakest chemistry.
Okay, the weakest. Okay, maybe. Yeah. All right. Yeah. It wasn't quite as cutting, but it was working. It worked to me.
Sure.
I felt that chemistry.
I thought they had a lot of chemistry.
I thought they did too. What did you think, Hoodie, of the scene of him first meeting up with Deb, I guess is her name? And she's working at the radio station.
Honestly,
and she sees him coming across the street. And she plays him right into the studio, gets him on the air. And these people are calling in saying, no, don't go back to this guy.
Right.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I think it was the weakest scene in probably the whole movie, though.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It was cutesy and fun. And I liked it, no doubt. But it was probably there's so many great scenes. And if you're going to do weakest relationship, that probably is the most cliche kind of like sicky sweet scene in this thing.
I thought the airplane scene was more sicky sweet than that.
The airplane scene?
Yeah, well, I'll go to the prom. I'll go to the reunion with you if you give me an airplane. And who hoists her up on
the
her
scene.
Feet?
I thought that was nice. I thought that was funny.
I thought that was more
it was
sicky.
Sweet.
I thought that was more sicky sweet.
It wasn't.
Than
at least
sicky
it
sweet.
Didn't hold up a boombox.
I thought it was.
It did.
More sicky sweet than the radio
station
scene.
We're gonna have to more widely define sicky.
I like what he says though.
I think we're gonna have to have a fight about this. We're gonna have to have a knife fight, me and you, buddy.
How about a pen fight?
Okay, cool. I got my pen right here, just from Britain.
Yeah.
All right, one other scene, and I'm looking at my notes here, and I can't let this one go because I love this one too. Aykroyd. Aykroyd just kind of jumps in almost like on stage here and there and just lights it up for me.
Yeah.
When they go into that restaurant, you remember this scene? And they meet for breakfast, and he's going to talk to him one last time trying to get him into the union. And they square off at a table at like this little breakfast cafe place, and you can feel the tension. They don't take their eyes off one another.
Mm-hmm.
Even when the waitress comes up, she's like, what do you want? Like the...
And they both have like an off the menu kind of order, which I thought was really
good. Aykroyd and that dry delivery. I'll have two pieces of French toast, and for my bread, I'll have this, that, and the other with butter on the side.
Holy pancakes.
Right.
And she says something like, we have this special and that special, and the omelet of the day is the fresh and fruity moon over Miami or something like that.
Fresh and cheesy,
buddy.
Yeah, easy breezy, fresh and cheesy or whatever. But that scene to me is great. And for a minute there, you thought they're going to be start blasting away at each other in this restaurant.
Yeah, and then he walks away making monkey sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
What is that?
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, I like that... the whole Boudreaux, the dog story.
Yeah.
I really want to know what happened there. What happened with Boudreaux the dog? What did he do?
Well, what he said was that he was there and he was he was trying to kill a guy with dynamite.
Yeah.
And he didn't know that the guy had a retriever. So he threw the dynamite, the dog went and retrieved it and blew up the dog. That's why the other guy's there trying to kill him. You had to have a reason why the other hitman came in.
Right.
And it's absurd, and I love it.
Yeah. He kept calling him a hound hitter and a pooch puncher and a poodle pumper.
Boudreaux bumper.
Yeah, and you could say Boudreaux bumper. But you could see,
kill an animal.
Yeah, that there was some weird code here. It's like, look, I'm not sick, okay? I don't kill animals.
Right.
You know, all of that just kind of worked. And you know what else worked, too? I want to real quickly end it with this for me. We talked about these little hits in the, no pun intended, in the script that make it work and make it kind of sink in as far as who these people are. I love when Cusack went to visit his folks, especially his dad's grave.
Yeah.
And what's he walk up with? He walks up with a bottle of booze. Yeah. Obviously, his father was an alcoholic. That's what I get from it.
Yeah.
He pours it on the ground. It said his father died in 1990, so he was alive for 4 years after he left and joined the Army.
Right.
There was a big strained relationship there. One scene, he walks in, he pours the bottle of wine upside down, throws it on the ground, walks away. I know what his backstory is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's enough.
Maybe it was one for his homie.
Maybe it was one for his homie.
It was a bottle of scotch, too.
Oh, it was a bottle of scotch.
I think it was Dewar's or something like that.
It wasn't Dewar's.
Not Dewar's. The other big
Johnny
scotch.
Walker?
No.
I thought it was J&B.
Move along.
Yeah, move along. Move along.
We're going to get into a fight with Pants.
Hey, why was it Joan Cusack was going to blow up his office? She was pouring gasoline all over the place. What was that?
She's destroying the records.
Destroying the business.
Because he was going out of business. Yeah.
And that just pathetic sledgehammer to the side of the what are you doing?
She's burning it anyways. It doesn't matter.
What are you
She's
doing?
Some aggression.
And she was smoking the whole time she was pouring that gasoline all over the place.
Really?
I was reading
have a cigarette later.
I was reading online where a lot of people felt like the end was rushed. I kind of got into some of what people thought, and I thought, okay, maybe I can dig that. I can see that. Did it feel like it was like, oh, hurry up, wrap it up? You know, you've got this.
I didn't feel that.
You have this reveal where his final hit is Deb's dad, and the knock on it from a lot of people is it was just thrown out there at the end to end it rather than really taking it to a different kind of place.
I would more say like the end after, you know, he's killed everybody and he goes up to the bathroom and she points the gun and, you know, all of that. And then it cuts away to them driving away out of Gross Point. I would think that there would need, you know, more need to be.
I loved it.
Like a wind down, more of a wind down at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
she just shuts the door in it.
Yeah, like walk out of the house, have, you know, just anything else to just, you know, wind the audience down and then give them the final scene where they're leaving.
Hoodie, you want to get out here and go do some blow? What do you say, you and me?
I got a pen fight with Max.
Oh, dude.
Yeah,
I
after
this
the pen
thing.
Fight.
I got this thing.
But yeah,
well,
blow and
it
works.
May amp you up before the pen fight.
I've got my pen. I got a damn sharp pen, too. You know what I could do to you with this?
I want to see that.
No, a Q
Fight Club. Yeah, here we go.
Whoa.
We don't talk about that.
No, we don't do that. Let's see, what else can we get into here, guys? There's a lot of scenes that we covered. I don't know.
Back to that, I hadn't watched this in probably about 5 years since I'd last seen it. I had actually sort of forgotten that whole his last hit was Deb's dad thing.
Yeah, right.
I didn't completely. Well, when it came up, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this part. It almost seemed like there were two endings to the movie. It's like they should have wrapped it up after the high school reunion, to me. It seemed like that would have been the natural point. Go ahead and wrap the movie up and be done with it. That second ending just seemed sort of like it was stitched on almost.
A bit.
It felt that way. It didn't feel like it belonged there.
No, I think it was important to do that. It was because at the high school, he learned you can't go home again because this life that he was in the present, he was trapped in. So what the hope that he had was gone. And so he goes back to the hotel. He opens the wrapper, and that's why he goes, dumb luck. Now he's back in it. And so there is, you know, the hope revitalized.
Yeah, and the hope revitalized with that, once again, the baby scene. It's the only thing he wanted to embrace. Give me a picture of this. Will someone take a picture of this? It's like, hey, the future looks pretty good for him. He has a place that he can get to from here.
Yeah.
And, you know, he takes a picture of her holding the baby. I think that's a nod to what he saw as his final stop, where he wanted to go.
You also Deb have him using, like, his spy equipment to take a picture of she and a little kid. Stuff that he uses.
It's like a chapstick-sized camera.
You know what I'm saying? Stuff that he uses in his job, killing people. Now he's using it more in a family-oriented, you know, scene. Yeah. Taking a picture of a girl you love and a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff like that. I mean, it's well-placed.
Yeah.
Things in there well-placed. All right, guys, tell you, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. We have our top three hitmen that we're going to get into. Inspired by this one, Gross Point Blank, 1997. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and wrap it up here. Listen to a small part of the film. Come back, get into our top threes. And here you go, Gross Point Blank, 1997.
10 years, man! 10! Where have you been for 10 years?
I freaked out. Joined the army. Went into business for myself. I'm a professional killer.
Oh, do you have to do postgraduate work for that, or can you jump right in? I'm curious about that.
It's an open market.
Open market, yeah. That's good. Wow. 10 years, man! 10 years! 10 years! 10! 10 years! 10 years!
Gross Point Blank, 1997. We are the Q Filmcast talking about that. And getting into our top three movie hitmen. And yeah. I think we all like this film, right? I mean, we all kind of landed on some pretty high numbers. I'm going to go 9.
Yeah, Max went up to 9.
43, I think.
Should I go 8 or 9? I'm going to go 9.
I'm going to 10. This is a 10.
It's a 10.
Are you going to 10?
Yeah, we all like this film.
Because that's 44. That's.
I'm staying the same.
He's staying 40, the same.
45.
Bob's words. That's a lot of words.
That's even with Adam.
Yeah, not bad.
That's almost a whole poem.
Right? That's a high-rated film.
Yeah.
But is. I do like it. I think it said, let's do this. And they did that well.
Yeah.
With a lot of fun. It's a fun ride, as you say. But let's get into our top three hitmen inspired by the film. Let me kick this one off. I have a theme.
Sure.
I have a theme inside the theme. You know what my theme is?
Nope.
Female hit women.
Female
hit women? Female hit women?
Wait a second.
Female women that hit women?
What? Huh?
You don't hit women.
I can think of a lot of females I'd like to hit. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, and by the way, Max, it's hitmen, not hot men. Okay, I looked at your list earlier.
I did not.
Yes, you did. I don't know if you read that wrong. It's hitmen, not hot men. Okay.
It actually says assassins,
oh.
Which is ass written twice with M's.
Well, let me tell you what my number three hit woman is, okay? I'm going with Angelica Houston in Prizzy's Honor.
Okay.
All right.
Whatever. Sure, okay, whatever. Sure. It's a good movie. Jack Nicholson.
It's good. It's good.
Two hit people falling in love. That's it.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Two hit people.
You seen this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's right, Nevada. Savage.
Yeah, I'm just going to go with a hitman that I like.
Go.
You know, Chuck Barris, Sam Rockwell in The Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
Ooh.
Size.
Yeah. You know, The Gong Show, folks, if you remember. He claims to have been a CIA hitman in real life.
Yeah. Hoodie, number three hitman inspired by the film Gross Point Blank. What is it?
Yeah, No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
Anton
Chigurh.
The coin ain't got no say.
Huh?
He was a hitman.
Friendo.
I'm getting blank stares, people.
No, I love it. That might be a pinnacle of an answer there.
What?
There's only three answers, and I got all of them. So.
Yeah.
I know my number one is.
Right. I'm going to go over to the producer, though, real quick, get him up to the mic and telling us what his number
crazy
three is.
Crazy over here. Watch this.
I watched this the other day. Diamonds Are Forever. Mr. Wint and Mr. Kidd.
Mr. Wint and Mr. Kidd.
Really? Scorpion Sea? Nothing?
Nothing.
I don't remember.
Really? Diamonds Are Forever?
Like, yeah. Like a gay...
what?
Just stop. Just stop.
His list says hot men.
Just stop.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got hot men, not hit men.
I was going to go Bond. I'd go Scaramanga or something. At least.
Okay, but what you're saying.
Sean. Or just James Bond.
Yeah, or just James Bond. You know what, though? He threw out Bond. You could probably do a top three.
I watched it the other day.
I got you. No, okay.
Right.
You were instantaneously inspired by the movie you watched the other day. I like
he's
that.
He's got a theme going on, too.
Let's go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. Max Gumbo Johnson. Lay it down. Pick it up. Top three, your third for the top three hitmen. What is it?
My number three is Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai.
Love it.
From Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai.
Never seen this film.
You've never seen that. Jim Jarmusch.
I've not seen that. That's the only Jim Jarmusch movie I've not seen.
Oh, wow. I'm picking it.
Why deprive yourself? It's fantastic.
Well, I didn't mean to deprive myself. I just didn't do it.
Then don't do it.
It's good.
He's a samurai and a ghost dog.
All right.
We've got ghosts and dogs and
samurais. It's like Indians, how they choose.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to give a quick plug to Jarmusch's last film. I'd love to talk about that. Only Lovers Left Alive.
Like great movie.
Okay. Number two. Are we up to number twos?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. I'm doing females. You know that, right? I'm going to go with, and you're going to say no, but just hold off.
All right.
Lucy Liu and Kill Bill, Oren. If you look at the animated sequence.
Oh, yeah.
She was putting a hit on that guy.
Oh, yeah.
She's a hit lady.
Of course she is.
Hit ladies.
They were all hit people. That's a team of assassins.
Okay. But it was a specific hit in that scene. Okay.
She was better than the bride?
I like the scene. I like the animated scene.
Maybe that's his number one.
Shut up. It's not.
Well, if it was... I never
better than Daryl Hannah?
Go over to James Hart, Subsavage. He's going to lay it down.
He's a long-term assassin. Just had to keep doing it. Avner from Munich.
Ed Asner?
Avner.
Oh.
Eric Bana. Avner.
Oh, yeah.
Ed Asner. Yeah, he took Ted Knight out like a bitch.
I said I don't remember Ed Asner doing this.
Yeah.
Oh. Would you be terrified if Ed Asner came to kill you?
Oh, Billy.
That's Ted Knight.
I know, but that's what he would be saying if Ed Asner was coming at him.
Oh, Billy Baruch.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Oh, hoodie. What you got, number two?
The American, Jack.
Perfect.
Boom.
There it is. Did you see that?
This is the perfect list I put together. It's the perfect list.
I know what your number one is.
Got the low-hanging fruit.
It's the perfect list.
I thought about this. If I was not going to concentrate on the female perspective, I would say this.
Yeah, and he's only number two. Everybody knows number one.
He's probably my number one as well.
Producer, you are my number one, and I want you to tell me your number two.
Probably better.
What is it?
Paul Giamatti in Shoot 'Em Up.
That's a dumb movie.
That's a fun movie.
I didn't like that movie.
Was he a hitman or was he just a boss?
No, he was a hitman. He was going after that baby.
Okay.
I like Paul Giamatti.
I like that movie. It was a fun movie. It wasn't meant to be some crazy serious movie.
I remember being really, really tired, like having to like prop my eyeballs open to watch. I should probably get that another one.
You should watch it.
I've seen it twice. I did that. I've been in your shoes. Don't do it.
Okay.
When you got Clive Owen chewing a carrot like Bugs Bunny, you know it's not serious.
All right.
What are we up to? Have you given your number two, Max?
No, my number two is John Wick.
John Wick.
I want to see it. Don't kill his dog.
Don't kill John Wick's dog and do not steal his car. You're screwed.
Whoa.
But it goes back to a point Max made earlier. They remember to keep the camera still.
They keep the camera still in John Wick. They keep it really still.
Yeah. You make
you
a fine
keep
point.
Keep a camera so still.
Yeah, but he makes a fine point. The camera gets jerky too often in movies.
Well, it does these days. That Paul Greengrass screwed it up for everybody.
He's too jerky in movies.
Thanks, MTV.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, John Wick, we're keeping the camera still. You're going to watch what these guys are doing. You're going to watch them kill each other and fight each other. And it's awesome. Yeah. It's fantastic.
It is pretty good.
My number one, let's get to it. You know what it is?
What?
This really is a great female assassin. And I think she's cool. And I kind of like the movie because it had Samuel L. Jackson in it. Gina Davis, Long Kiss Goodnight.
Long Kiss Goodnight.
I thought you would go Hannah.
Maybe it's
his number one.
That is my number one, Gina Davis.
Your number one?
Not Hannah.
Check this out. La Femme Nikita, I scratched it out. I scratched it because I thought too obvious.
That's a loopy loop.
Too obvious. I'm going to go with something less obvious. Right. I went with Gina Davis. You like that?
Nikita's better.
She was great in that movie, though.
You should have gone with La Femme Nikita.
Don't care, because it's too obvious.
Okay.
You called me out, and I stood my ground right
there. Gina Davis, she was good. Long Kiss Goodnight.
Are we done? No, wait, you have number one.
I have number one. We all have number one.
What's your number one, Savage?
My favorite hitman, Gillian Noble, the Matador.
Ooh, yeah, we're talking Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan. Oh, excellent. It's an excellent film.
You would like that movie.
Speaking of Bond.
This is not Bond.
Check it out.
Dirty.
Bond with me, Hoodie. What's your number one? Let's bond over your number one. What is it? Mm-hmm. No, you can tell me. What?
The Professional.
Of course.
Oh,
Leon.
Leon.
That's my number one, too.
Gotta be.
I would go there. Is nobody going to say Jules from Pulp Fiction? That's the quintessential.
Or Vince Vaughn.
No, the quintessential is Leon. Yeah, it really is.
Leon is the greatest assassin.
You cannot put a list out here like this and not tell me that Jules shouldn't be on the list.
Well, then you should have put the Jackal from the Day of the Jackal.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Wait
yeah.
a second. Producer, did we skip you?
And
holy crap.
Just say Jules.
What is it?
First of all, shout out to the Winter Soldier. Other than that, my number one hitman, Jason Voorhees from Freddy vs. Jason.
That is the worst choice I've ever heard.
Leon.
That is really? Terrible. That's just
yes.
Terrible, terrible.
Adam returns to form.
Yep.
Thanks. Wait for, a second. You can't. You
thanks
can't,
for coming through, pal.
Adam, you cannot throw that out there.
What?
How is this a professional situation for Jason?
Freddie,
he was getting paid.
Freddie got him
in
to
souls.
Put hits out on people so that Freddie can come back.
I love it. I love that he's back. Yeah, I felt like you've been gone for a while. You just came back to me, son. I love it. That is the best answer ever. Just yeah. because it warms me because I know he never left. I thought he'd gone.
Yeah. You thought he was like growing.
I thought you grew, and I'm glad that
you know what? You know what answer I like? I like your number one.
I like your number one.
Thanks, buddy.
Whatever, man.
Hey, man. My number one was not too shabby.
I put
no
this.
Leon.
I put this out on Twitter and Facebook. Let me tell you what came back on Twitter a little bit. DJBP at Film Club CHS nailed it. It says, the lad from Gross Point Blank. The lad?
Yeah.
Lad.
Obviously, he's from across the pond.
I think he's tuning in from Seattle. our boy Kevin Dillon, I think he's making fun of me. He says Tom Cruise as Vincent in Collateral.
But
well, that's a good answer, actually.
No, it's on a lot of lists.
I thought he was making fun of my hair.
Did he go dot, 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 Collateral?
No.
Okay.
And Kevin's sending me a post.
Ooh. Yeah. Are we going to get to that?
He said he is.
Oh.
All the way from Ireland.
If you haven't
like
got
send,
it yet.
If you'd like to send me a post, you can send it to Max Johnson at 120 Peachtree Street, Nashville, Tennessee, 37210.
I like that we're doing it right here, right now. Twitter shout-outs. No, totally. No, totally. The Libyans from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
That's a terrible answer.
Oh, they were, man. They were coming to kill the professor.
You think?
It's because they didn't get his money.
Absolutely.
Check this out.
You got to pay for that plutonium somehow.
He also
coming
said,
out your ass.
He also said the guys from Looper.
Yep.
I had that on my list. I had Looper on my list.
Gandolfini in True Romance. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the end of this one right here. Let's get into next week's show. That's where this one ends here. Gross Point Blank. Top three hitmen. And next week, getting into the big reveal at this point. This is the part of the show where we go back around the table, hand the cue over to someone else and say, let's talk about what Max Gumbo Johnson.
In light of all this Sony hacking scandal garbage, Team America.
Ooh.
We are broadcasting this
Ooh.
Straight into
it.
North Korea. Take that, Kim Jong-un. Suck it, you bitch.
Blank, yeah.
I like
America.
That. Yeah, yeah.
Coming
again.
Yeah.
We're
doing Team America.
Yeah.
Team America.
If we make Netflix. If we somehow make it back here next week to actually do that. If the word is, watch this guy get murdered tonight by some Korean guy coming out.
Not me. I don't want to do it. This is Matt talking. Yeah.
This is madness.
Oh, I don't know. That's so fantastic. That's perfect. That's perfect. Yeah.
Team America.
I like it. It's on Netflix, am I correct? You're
correct,
right?
F yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a fun time with this one. That's this
right.
might just need to be a devote the entire night to that show.
Well, we're probably going to tear their servers down.
Yeah, I think so. Nicely done, Max. I like this. You know what? It's appropriate.
It is appropriate.
It's timely.
You know what? If Sony's afraid to talk about it, if Paramount's afraid to talk about it, you know who steps in? We step in.
The Q Film Cast.
The Q
I'm
Film
not afraid.
Cast.
We're not afraid.
We ain't scared. No, we ain't scared of nothing.
Yeah.
Scared?
Yeah. Love that idea. Yeah, so we're going to step up for you, America. This is for America.
We're on your team.
This is for America.
This is for America. Next week,
Team America.
Team America. And God knows what the top three will be. It'll be fantastic.
Three scat scenes.
Oh, stop. Come on, man. We got to cut that out.
I love it.
Why do we have to cut it out?
No, that's got to go.
It's staying. I'm editing.
All right.
No, that's...
All right, that's terrible.
Yeah, I sure to God hope not. all right, so that's where this one ends once again. And into next week, we will go Team America. And hey, as always, thanks for tuning into The Q. If you want to leave your thoughts on this one, you go to theqfilmcast.net. And when you go there, follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. Go ahead and sign up to get email. You know, you get updated to new shows and stuff like that. So there you are.
Join the club.
Everybody.
Join the team. Team America.
And we'll see you next week for sure. Team America. Until then, however it is, you say good night.